So if you're not, you know, using that money to enjoy it as well, I mean, what are you working for?
Well, and welcome to Kevin's TED Talk on Nonsenseology.
You are listening to Nonsenseology.
Sup, everyone? Welcome to episode 13 of Nonsenseology.
I thought we decided we weren't going to do the episode numbers anymore.
We agreed. We agreed.
Sure. Are we going to keep this in?
I mean, we're already here. Go ahead. It's fine.
But also, welcome to the first edition of our YouTube series for Nonsenseology. And what better way to start our YouTube series off than bringing back our most popular guest so far, Mr. Brandon Adams.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be back. Should be a good time. Excited for more nonsense.
Fantastic. Glad to have you back, Brandon.
Absolutely. That's all we can really give to the world is nonsense. At least me.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Agree 100%.
So who is starting us off this evening?
I will not be shy to...
You have to edit all the stars.
Put little stars.
Yeah.
All over the top of them.
All right, so we're going to start tonight by getting into a little philosophy. And I know what you're thinking.
Why is Zach talking like that?
Bingo.
No. They're probably thinking, oh, God.
Here he goes again.
We're going to hear something about the universe, Joe Rogan, Elon Musk.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can skip to the 20-minute mark of this podcast, and we can get on to some more.
Talk about.
But I'm here to tell you, it will not be brought up unless those keywords, you know, come up. I can't make any promises.
That was the worst non-disclaimer that you
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, it will, but it might, but it won't, but it could.
It's not going to come up unless somebody says a thing, and then we're going to get into it. Basically what you just said.
So I gave everyone an empty promise. Sorry about that.
Welcome to 2021.
Anyway, so for those who don't know philosophy, don't know what it's about, I don't know if you three even know, but...
I took a philosophy course.
I went to college.
I dabbled in it.
Well, then you're about to hear a repeat.
Your take on it.
Yeah, so philosophy is questions that are posed to help people gain an understanding of the universe and existence of humankind. The answers to these fundamental questions are largely based on speculation, meaning there are no universal truths. However, whatever answers that you ultimately accept as being true will predominantly determine your identity and beliefs. Does that sound about right?
Sure. I don't know.
I see where you're going.
I mean, clearly the smartest one at the table, Austin, I just got to check with you.
Before. I don't think that's true.
I also don't think
you're
that's
boosting
true.
His ego. I'm confused as to why you're doing so.
Well, let's get right into it. It's more so just kind of asking philosophical questions. And, you know, for those listening, you can ask this to yourself as well and give your own answers. Is there such a thing as fate? And let me break this down. So do you think that our lives are predetermined for us? Or do you think that we have complete control over our lives?
You pose a good topic there.
That's a very good question. Depends. Is this all a simulation or not? Is this all some iRobot stuff or not? I don't know.
John, you know what that
if we say that fate is real, then I feel like that just makes the chances of this being a simulation, of this all being set in stone, how it's going to go, I feel like that makes that possibility even more so.
So, and I'm going to start talking to people like, what are you even saying, Zach? But our perception of whether we believe in fate or not, say we don't believe in fate and that our lives are predetermined and we have full control over our lives, but us actually thinking we have full control over our lives was actually predetermined in the first place.
So I think there's
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, no, what you said, it makes sense.
I think there's a lot that ties into that, too. I mean, you're not just talking about philosophy. You talk about also your beliefs as far as religion and things like that go. I mean, is everything predetermined?
Do we have to...
Yeah, actually, a lot of that does tie into religion. I mean, you know, if you...
I didn't say anything about...
You didn't have to say anything, but I'm saying, like, it's not just philosophy. I mean, like, if you start talking about that, well, then you're, ever like, other people that could... chime into this and be like, well, you know, in this religion and that religion, like,
everyone's belief is
like I grew up with a religious background, and personally I believe that we all have free will. I believe that we can do what we choose to do, and I personally believe that we have free will. I don't think everything is set in stone, you know, because what if, you know, I mean, what if one day, like, you wake up in the morning and you've got the, I don't know. I guess you can look at it from either side, because if I say, well, I got Cheerios or I've got freaking Fruity Pebbles, which one do I want?
So I guess a good example of being predetermined is like people believing that they found their person and that person was like created and meant for them.
So like the soulmate type thing.
And I personally don't necessarily believe in having a soulmate. Like, I think that you find somebody that you connect well with, and then regardless, you have to put an effort into that relationship no matter what.
And I think there's that form of adaptation to where, like, you're kind of molding into, you know, not necessarily changing how you act or changing what you do, but more so just aligning your things a little bit differently.
Yeah, you have to grow with them, you know, you gotta, like, you know. But that takes work. It's not just gonna... But I don't know anybody that's ever been in a relationship where it's just like easygoing the whole time.
No, it doesn't. No way.
Huh. I think you're... This guy has one?
No, you guys butt heads every now and then. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you and Taylor have had your issues before.
No, she just headbutts me. I don't headbutt back.
This is all recorded. Zach. So, she listens to this.
I'm going to let Taylor know to listen in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's
a hard question though. I'm not really sure how I sit on that. I definitely believe in free will. I've always been the person that just kind of thinks whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. But I also think to get where you want to be, or let's say where you're supposed to end up, you have to, you know, put the work in to get there. You know, you're not going to get that job or get that person or have that car or whatever the case may be, insert whatever you want, unless you do the work to do it. So, I don't know.
Well, that point kind of ties in. I don't know if you've ever seen the old movie. It's from back in the 1990s, The Truman Show. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey.
That's a good one.
It's a neat concept, especially for how old that movie is. Like I said, somewhere in the 90s, I think. If you're not familiar with it, it's Jim Carrey plays the main character. Truman, I believe, is his first name. But basically his life is nothing but like a simulation to where like everyone is an actor.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's being recorded the whole time. His life's like a TV show, basically.
Yeah. And they've raised him, I think, since birth or something like that, that he was predetermined to be a part of this show, and they talks about his whole life. And it's basically just an ongoing series, but that's kind of...
What if all of this is just a show?
Yeah,
what if
absolutely.
One of us is Truman. What if one of us is the Truman character? Ooh. And we're the other three of us are just messing with him.
Starting to say trigger words here. I promised we wouldn't.
Should we tell him?
We're moving on. If you haven't said what you needed to say, too bad.
See, I'm telling you, this is why he can only ask one question, because we can tie into...
Yeah, we could talk about that stuff for a while.
Does a person's name influence the person they will become?
No.
Ugh. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
I have an argument with that, because I have not met a Chad that was not an asshole. So
he's going to get beat up.
A Chad,
podcast.
A Braden, a Kyler.
Whoa.
He is literally...
I've got a cousin named Kyler who's a really good dude.
Well, see, I haven't met him yet, so...
You actually have.
Yeah, you have.
A couple times, I think.
Yeah, he was at my graduation party.
Well, we need to meet again, then.
He's a nice guy. He's a really good guy.
I think unless the name is ridiculous, no.
I don't know.
Is that your point? Like, you've not met the... I mean...
Maybe it's not so much... Here's my thought on it. Maybe it's not so much the name, but maybe the parents that name their children those similar type of names have similar type of mindsets, and maybe the people that are naming their... No offense to anybody. People that are naming their kids Chad, maybe they're freaking a little crazy, you know what I mean? So people...
Oh, maybe...
So maybe that's why they're naming their kids Chad, because all of these parents are a little bit crazy, so
maybe
their kids are turning out a little bit crazy, and that's
Chad,
why these Chads are...
Chad, what's your mom's name? Karen. What's your mom's name? Karen. See?
Okay. I've actually done work for some Karens who were lovely ladies.
By the way, I...
big...
I have... I mean, okay... I have a family member named Karen.
I do.
She's so nice. And you know, I feel bad for the Karens of the world right now. They're just really getting shit on.
So wouldn't that kind of dismantle your argument?
That's true.
I let him speak it himself. I knew he was going to get around to that, so I just let him like
Okay. Am I the only one that heard it?
Oh, yeah. Knew he would get
that. I'm picking up on it now that you pointed it out.
Okay, well, I have a...
Let's debunk your next theory.
I have a teeter-totter of bullshit. Chads and Karens. So, moving on. If you could...
Debunk theory number three.
If you could become immortal... on the condition you would never be able to die or kill yourself, would you choose immortality?
No.
Yeah. Probably me either. And for a good fact...
Do you age, like, during this?
Is it like the guy that ages in reverse or something like that?
Okay, I'm setting my own rules here. Right now, you're 26. You stay 26 forever. So Captain America.
Is that who it is?
Does Captain America, he does he age?
No, he doesn't age.
I thought he aged like super, super slowly. Yeah, like some Deadpool stuff is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, whatever.
All right, well, no, I still wouldn't do that because that would suck.
I'll do a counter proposal. I wouldn't choose to be immortal, but I would choose for a longer, extended life. Mm-hmm. I'll make a fantasy reference. Lord of the Rings, Aragorn is one of the Dúnedain, and he lives to be like 250 years old.
But cool.
it's a slow age.
That's a long time to
It's a slow age, though. So when you're getting old, you're at maybe like 175 is when you're around like the 50 mark or something like that. Goodness. But how cool would it be, though? Think of 250 years ago to see what we go from now 250 years in the future.
You're just not going to experience enough history.
But I would not be immortal.
I said that probably not, and because... Like, say 250 years from now, I'm basically, everyone else, you know, you guys, everyone else is gone, I imagine. And I'm living history, you know. I am, and then they'd be like, oh my God.
You have Zach outlives me? They would be so mad.
Somehow I'm just like, you know, me, I say things that... they just stumble, words just stumble out of my mouth. I'm like, yeah, I'm living history. And they're like, holy crap, we want to make you a history teacher. And then...
That's what you're telling me. You have the ability to live about 250 years and you're going to be a history teacher. That's your claim to fame?
But I would be, I wouldn't be a good one though. Because I'd be like...
No, we know.
All right, so moving along like the All-American Rejects. So
that was rough.
So where were we? Would things get better or worse if humans focus on what was going well rather than what was going wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we do focus a lot on what's going well, but the media portrays it as us focusing on the negative because they make more money that way.
I think I'll do a counter proposal. I agree with that, but I think the world would be so much better if we eliminated the media.
Yeah,
completely.
Mm-hmm.
At least the way that they are now.
Besides the influence of Joe Rogan, obviously.
So the thing is, if you look at the
media?
If you look at the media, the major media organizations, they're all owned by the same political party.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They're all owned by the same people.
And there's no way that anybody with a sane mind can say that they don't screen what they're allowed to put out there or not. So the way the media is, I should clarify, if we abolished it to where not a party or a major organization can own them,
you're not talking about like social media. You're not talking about like Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Because when you say media, that all falls under
that category. I'm talking about the news. I should clarify, but not eliminating the media, but eliminating major corporations being able to own them and influence what gets put out.
But also, those major corporations also own those social media sites, too.
That's true, but they can't influence as much
They could totally. I mean, those algorithms, depending on how they wanted to do it, they could totally. And that's how people fall into echo chambers. That's why if you sit there and you continue to like the same type of post,
mm-hmm. or you see the same type of post,
they could totally, like, narrow down. Like, if they didn't want you to see Trump tweets or tweets promoting Trump,
that's how they get totally people to be so narrow-minded.
Not saying that they do. I'm not saying that they do, but they totally could.
I'm not saying they can't do that. I think social media is its own beast and has its own very negative things that come with it. But I do think the way the news is run is worse.
Well, social media is also almost more dangerous than even that, because you get so much fake news that's put out there, and there's so many people that are exposed to it.
Also, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
They instantly believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to realize that fake news comes from the news sites, which circles back to the news.
You're pulling from so many streams. Yeah.
All of those fake news. The part of the problem is these reporters and these companies get paid top dollar to put everything out first.
Well, what about sites like The Onion, who purposefully will post stuff like Caitlyn Jenner has now trans back into a man. They literally put shit out there like that just have the most ridiculous clickbait titles, and people will share that because they...
I do agree, but I also
just
think...
just want clickbait.
I also think the people that are sharing The Onion thinking it's true are the idiots of the internet, because anybody with half a brain knows that The Onion's...
There's more...
It's satirical.
More idiots on the internet than there are smart people.
Oh, I agree.
And that's why I say, like, it's such a hard thing to say, let's get rid of media, because if you do get rid of media, though, you get rid of a mass branch of communications, too.
Hey, question just popped in my mind from what you said. So do you think this more, a bigger population of people who are intelligent don't use media at all?
I think intelligent people don't comment on media as often as unintelligent people. I think unintelligent people feel the need to voice their opinion, to feel more appreciated, to feel more valued in society. So that's why they feel the need. Like, the people that are sitting there dragging people on media, dude, those are nerds. They're losers. They don't even really matter. If you have the time to post on social media and sit there and drag somebody, bro,
you're wasting your time. I think, to piggyback off that, I think the most successful people that don't have to be in media to be successful aren't in media.
Yeah, I like you listen to a lot of people that are on, you know, even famous people that are on social media that do post. They'll post and then they won't read the comments. They'll just make their post and leave it alone
or turn off the comments in general.
Yeah, because I mean, dude, like I said, if your opinion really doesn't freaking matter,
or they make a huge step in life and delete the app.
Maybe. I mean, I like getting on Twitter and stuff or Facebook and reading the news, going through there and seeing how everybody's doing, what everybody's got going on, but I don't really post at all, and I'm not going to comment on anything.
Okay. I have an opposing question, even though it's not my turn.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Do you feel like, with the way that social media has turned, do you feel like it overall is more of a positive in our lives or more of a negative?
We talked about this a few weeks ago about it being like inherently or
in a previous episode, Nonsense
Alex. Talking about the internet being inherently good or inherently bad. I think initially it was meant for a good thing. I think it was thought of and came about as like a good way for people to communicate, but it has transitioned into something that is more about spreading
just like anything.
Hate.
I mean, like
forcing your opinion down people's throats. I think it's just become...
Well, I'm not talking about the internet. I'm talking about strictly social media.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Facebook, social media, Twitter, those main
three. It was created for a good purpose, and then just over years of time, it's just...
If I'm not mistaken, Twitter was originally... I could be completely wrong about this and speaking out of my ass, but I think Twitter was originally created for larger businesses to network better with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became something that people were using as a media outlet.
Well, the reason I ask, there's been plenty of studies that have proven it, that being on Instagram makes people more depressed.
Yeah,
I can believe it.
Instagram is the prime example of what I wanted to lead with. When you look at everybody and all they do is portray the best things that are going on and all the positives, you start to look down on yourself, feeling like you're the only one that's doing bad, you're the only one that's having a bad week, you're the only one that's not successful, whatever the case may be. So that's why I posed the question, because I don't... I'm on it. I'm on social media all the time, way more than I would like to be. But I don't feel like it adds value. I feel like it adds value, but I don't think it outweighs the negative that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I definitely understand what you're saying there. It's give and take. I mean, social media, just like everything else in life, it's going to be what you make of it. So if you sit there and you dwell on what you got going on, you dwell on how many likes you're getting, how many people are, I mean, that's going to It's going to heat you up.
I got an example, and then we're going to move along.
Okay.
So, obviously, we said social media was created with good intentions, and then obviously it trickled into being bad, as we see it today. Many other things. Coca-Cola. It was created just to give people a sense of happiness when they drank it. But now, you see, yeah, baddies trolling the street because they drink Coca-Cola every day, so...
Now he's sabotaging himself.
I don't know what's going on. You're going to get fired now, too. Gee whiz.
All right, what's your last one?
Last one? I still got a couple up my sleeve. But, okay, I'll just
let him run with it. It's cute.
I got some really good hard hitters that will...
Okay, let's hear it.
Are humans actually free?
No.
Yeah. And for me to...
Define free.
So, I guess just, are you free to...
What happens if you don't pay taxes?
Yeah.
Or you go to jail.
Don't wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
What happens if you text and drive?
Well, and for what
what
I put...
What if you drink and drive? What happens if you drink in public?
What I put to say, like, that we're not actually fully free, and I'm sure there's many other things, what makes us not actually free in this free country. We're tied down to financial responsibility, which requires having a job that ties us up to at least 40 hours a week, which equals 2,080 hours a year, or roughly 87 days out of 365 days a year. So,
I think a big part of being free, you know, financially and all that stuff, is finding a job that you love. Like, if you go to work miserable and you hate
going
to work,
you never work a day in your life, you find something.
I mean, that's true. I mean, for real. Like, I really do enjoy my job. I like doing it.
It ain't much, but it's
not hard. Like, I get up in the morning and I'm like, cool, I get to go to work. I don't have to be like, oh, dude. So, I think maybe...
I wake up very happy at work.
But that's the thing. Like, it's all about the facet of society, because you have to look at it like this. I know that's a bold-faced lie. You don't. And I'm just going to go ahead and clear that up right now. Is everyone's got... Are each individual jobs, which we all work in very unique fields, that it's just a part of society, so that if we didn't work those full-time hours, if we just all worked part-time, if we didn't work, like, and someone didn't do it, it's a piece that's not being filled in society, to whereas society would eventually either cease to exist without that piece, or it would learn to adapt without it, and we would be forced to find something else to do. So, for example, we'll use Austin as a good trait. So, Austin works for a very popular and very large construction company in the Evansville area. If Austin, as one of the foremen, wasn't there and his job didn't exist, well, then that construction company ceases to exist over time.
Because it could be taken over by AI and technology.
Well, not
it'd be
even
very hard to have a robot do my job.
Exactly, because there's so much that you need hands on, and that's why I picked Austin's job. Is because he works, him and his crew work so like diligently with their hands and very specific tasks, that it would take years upon years before AI could be sufficient enough to build a house
There's so many little intricate parts, and if there's one thing is wrong, then you're going to have to redo a lot more than what you're wanting to redo. And for a machine to be able to do all of that, you would have to have tons of different machines.
Exactly. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just kind of putting a picture to your words. So the way you're explaining it is, society is like a house of cards. And if you pull out one of the cards, the whole thing collapses.
Unless you glue it.
There you go. But and
what's
I'll use
the glue?
I'll use the example to kind of just tie back into his job too, whereas you said, well, what if you just had AI or simulations? We'll use what your dad does, which is work at Toyota, which is a very large company within our, you know, tri-state area that hundreds and hundreds of people work at. It's its own, thousands of people work there. It's its own little community. When Toyota first opened up decades ago, they didn't have hardly any of the machines that they do today. And there's a lot of machines that they have at Toyota, I'm sure, and a lot of robotic technology and stuff, because they've adapted to the times and they're pushing that so many cars per minute, or however, you know, the ratio works. They've just learned to become more efficient with those technologies. So yes, you could probably train an AI to eventually like build a house or repair gutters or whatever. But at the same time, you're just going to be responsible for repairing more houses or building more you know, repairing more gutters.
What if, or do you think we would take money completely out of the equation of society and we all just work together for the common good?
I think suicide rates more freedom? No, I think suicide rates would skyrocket if that were the case.
You have to have something you're working towards. People need a reason to live.
Like if
I'm
saying that
we still all have...
If we had like a universal income?
Well, we all had a... I just said take money out of the equation. I don't even know what I'm saying.
If everybody has like a universal income, why would you work?
Exactly.
What would be the point? I wouldn't go to freaking... I like my job, but if I don't have to go out there and swing a hammer, bro, I'm not going to go out there.
Because
and
you can't ever have that type of thing. Because if I'm not getting paid the salary that I'm getting paid, well, then the place I'm living at must be free. But then who's getting paid to maintain it? Or, you know, like there's all these different intricate things that tie into it to where you could never have a universal like co-op type of thing.
Even if we did, where everybody had the same housing, we all got the same rations of food. All that stuff.
It's very uniform.
Yeah.
We almost sound like we're talking about a similar to the Hunger Games, maybe. Right.
I'm not too familiar.
I mean, I know the Hunger Games, but I don't know, man.
Pop culture.
I know what you're talking about.
See,
I'm not too sure how you connect the Hunger Games with that, but.
Well, anyway.
Next question. Just go on. Let's hear it.
One or two more hard hitters.
I don't care. Surprise me. You're the one that has to get home to your wife, bro.
What's that?
What were we going to say?
I was going to say maybe we should add Hunger Games to the list of things to not talk about since you can't complete your thought.
He can never... Hunger Games is a good movie.
I'm going to do two more questions. So do you think the world would be a better place if everyone looked the exact same and thought the same?
No.
No, because there would never be any advancements in the world. If everybody thought the same and looked the same, the reason we have all the amazing things that we have in this world is because people are different and they're creative and they have their own thoughts and processes.
But on the other side of that, we would have equality because everyone would be the same, look the same. There would be no differences, so therefore,
what do you mean world by equality? What do you mean by equality?
That would drive me insane.
Because I feel like if you're talking about equality of looks, okay, yes, but I don't think there would ever be equality in the world because humans, part of their nature is being assholes, and I don't think that goes away when you look the same. I don't know. That's why I was curious what you meant by equality.
Wouldn't thinking the same kind of tie in with personality or no?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think your thought processes also tie into your personality.
That
would make people like robotic is what you're saying. I feel like that's what you're saying is if people were like more robotic where we all just kind of fell in line like...
Now this is where you could have made the Hunger Games reference.
But like, not the Hunger Games. I feel like you asked an open-ended question, but like, you got to specify a little bit more because like, you could when you tie in personality and thinking. So let's use the term of the customer service force. So someone that works in a call center all day, like they, you know, like have this happy-go-lucky call, you know, hello, you know, how can I help you? Then when they hang up their phone, they're like, oh my god, that customer was stupid, or yada yada. Like, or they're thinking the whole time, my god, this person's an idiot. Why did they call this 800 number? But you're not. Your personality is not saying that, but you are thinking it. So if you have a complete, like, in what you're saying, a uniform system to where everyone looks alike, the thought process is completely different.
I like this. I'm
debunk theory number 6.
Last one, and we can move on to whoever wants to talk next.
Well, actually, the podcast is about over because we've been talking about that.
Which one do I want to go with? Oh, okay.
Oh my god!
What is the difference between living and being alive?
I'm experiencing life and just existing, like just going through the motions.
Doing what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think everybody wants to experience life. Not everybody wants to be. Well, I'll use me for example. Somebody that goes out all the time and does things and goes on vacation. There's people like I'll use Austin for example. That loves to sit at home and to work on his projects, and he's happy, he's living his life.
And for everyone's me, definition is
I'm
different.
I'm doing the opposite. Yeah, exactly. So I think it comes down to doing what makes you happy.
Yeah. And your perspective of fully living
life is perspective. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you've got
to
make
it. I mean, basically, the way I look at it is making the most of your life is living, having fun, getting the experience of the better sides of life. Now, if you're just, you know, paying your bills, contributing to society through a job, that's it. That's just...
That sucks. That would be boring.
That's just living, not being alive. Mm-hmm. So, that's just the way I take it. Do you guys have any last comments? Last debunks?
Next.
That
Brandon, I believe you've brought to us an interesting topic this week. I'd be interested to pick your brain on it.
So, my topic is this. Everybody has a different opinion on money and how you should spend it, how much is enough, and where you should allocate it. So my question to you is, what are your thoughts on what's the correct way to manage your money? How you spend it, how much you save?
I think you should spend every single penny off of every check you get every single time you get a check.
Okay, so if this podcast fails, Austin's not going to have any money. Emil still might not have any money, actually, if he's going to spend all of it. So.
Drats.
Well, I am no Dave Ramsey, but...
We know this.
I don't... That is a tough question, because...
I think you should save a good amount. I think you should at least, in your savings at all times, you should have at least 3 months' worth of living expenses saved up. And that's just at least that's just a good safety net, you know. Yeah. If it takes you 3 months to find a job, you really ain't looking that hard, because there's factories that are hiring right now. If you're hurting,
okay. Let me ask you this. Let me narrow it down a little bit more then, because I also agree. In a perfect world, if you're smart enough with your money, you should have at least 6 months back. But once you get to that point and you're putting, you know, the amount of money, let's even say the most amount of money you can in your retirement, well, you've got all this extra money coming in. What are your opinions? What should you do with it? You're 40. You've got 6 months of expenses back. You're putting plenty of money in your retirement. What do you do with your extra money?
You should invest it.
So you shouldn't spend any of it on other
stuff? No, I apologize. Yeah, you should definitely. It's all about budgeting. And for someone who works in the financial field, I could go on about this for an hour. But I'm not, because I'm not Zach. The best thing to do is definitely create a realistic budget for yourself. And why I say realistic is because if you talk to anyone, they're like, well, you should save and invest and just take, you know, $50 out of your paycheck and that should be all you have to enjoy. No. I completely disagree with that theory. You said because if you do that type of method, not saying that it's the worst way, because the worst way would obviously be to completely blow through your money and be overdrawn your bank accounts all the time and max out your credit cards, etc.
And have 20 credit cards.
Yeah. But at the same time, setting a realistic budget to say, okay, I like doing these things, going out, you know, like to eat or going to travel and things like that. So based upon the amount of income I have, let me set a realistic budget for, you know, this amount for bills that I must need to pay, this amount to go into savings. If you're into investing or you have the means to invest, then put away your little amount for investing. And then, you know, give yourself an ample amount to go out and enjoy. You shouldn't feel like that you are constantly, you know, working for the man and you're just working for a paycheck and you're just working to pay the car that sits in the parking lot of the place that work at, and the house that you, or an apartment that you leave empty all day. You shouldn't feel like that. Definitely, you know, it kind of goes back to living life too, is that you need to make sure that you're setting yourself a realistic budget of expectation to go out and enjoy the things that you like doing in life.
Dang, I think I hear a Merrill Prize Financial calling.
Yeah.
Kevin, you want a job?
No, absolutely not.
So what would you say is a reasonable, personally, I put into my IRA 10% of my paycheck, because I'm young, put in 10% every week, and then, you know, I put an additional something into my savings. What's a good percentage to put into your savings, would you say?
It all depends on how, and again, we can go into an hour worth of talking about this, but it all depends on, every single person is different. So it depends on people that live off a single income, people that have a dual income, people that have dependents such as children or parents or someone that you're taking care of. I would say realistically, like savings-wise, 20% going into savings per month is a good, real, and it's attainable. Because people that are like, oh, I put half my check away in the savings. I see people all the time that will put, you know, like I talked about earlier, if they make $1,000 in the paycheck and they put 800 of it into savings and leave themselves 200, well, then they go into their savings and they're taking out 100 here and then 100 there and 100 there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saving. That's not what a savings account is meant to do. Save, like, leave it, and forget about it.
I feel like they're doing that, though, to, I guess, try to budget to an extreme that way that they're not, and then they realize that they really over-saved, put too much in their savings.
Well, I'll kind of piggyback on what you said. I've done that same thing 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
100 times.
Oh, I've done it too. Absolutely.
And I think it has to come down to you just acting like it's not there.
Exactly.
Because it's not there. Yeah. And that's the way of looking at it. It's not there. You're having it there as a safety net.
Yeah, because this it's...
So don't look at it as like money to spend now.
If I could not have my savings account on my mobile banking and just see my checking, I absolutely would. I would put it where I couldn't see it, and I would just have a set amount and go back each month, maybe check on it once a year, see where it's
just
at.
Just to make sure. Even once a month, just to know, okay, you know, like I'm making progress. I've put this X amount of money each month, and I have X amount more dollars than I did last month, or 3 months ago, or 6 months ago. It gives you a goal to set on, and when you've achieved that goal, you can set a new goal and go from there.
So my follow-up question, do you guys think that there is a certain amount, and I think the amount's different from each person, where you should stop saving just because you can save and you should start enjoying life? If you're putting back in retirement and things like that and preparing, I'm talking about personal savings for rainy day.
I don't think that there's a point where you should ever stop saving. I think that reducing the percentage of your checks that you're putting in is definitely a good way of looking at it. Or like in Austin's case, Austin puts a nice percentage. Not many people can afford to put 10% into their IRA and a little bit in the savings as well. And the fact that he's able to do that, you know, shows that he's thinking long term, because by doing that, he could retire 5-10 years earlier if he continues on that path. Whereas, you know, I put away, I max out what my company matches, which, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it, and I definitely suggest that if your company offers that, that's definitely something you should take advantage of, because yep. It's free money. If your company matches 5% or 3%, that's literally free money that your company is offering you, that when, even if you leave, you know, a year or 5 years from now, it builds interest. It's put into some sort of retirement plan. But it's not money that they're going to just take away from you, unless they have some weird stipulation clause, which most companies don't. But no, to just answer your point, I don't think that there's any certain time where you shouldn't be set. Even if, you know, you came into some money, the stimulus would be a good example. No one 2 years ago was ever expecting that the government was just going to hand us money that wasn't a tax return or something like that. So it's all about how people use that money. So some people use it to pay down bills, which is a great idea. Some people use it to invest, which is a great idea. Some people use it to put savings in a rainy day. That's a good idea. Some people use it to travel or to buy something nice for themselves because they've worked so hard. You know what? That's also a good idea too, within reason. Because if there's something that you've been wanting for a while that you weren't able to afford because you've been busting your tail, but you just can't seem to get ahead, and you're able to use that stimulus money to do so to get ahead, then... You know, by all means, you know, going back to the previous topic of like living your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely something you should do, because I think that as financial health is just as important as mental health too. So if you're not, you know, using that money to enjoy it as well, what are you working for?
Well,
and welcome to Kevin's TED Talk on Nonsense.
So the last thing I'll say about it, the reason I brought it up, I've always struggled with the idea of just saving and saving and saving and saving, because at the end of the day, when you die and you go into the ground, you don't take the money with you.
Bingo.
I'm going to work my butt off my whole life, and I want to very much set myself up for financial success to live well for the rest of my life. But I don't want to die and have $100,000 sitting in my savings account that I never touched.
I think my biggest thing is I plan on having a family eventually, and that's where all that money would go, you know. That's my thought. It's like,
that's a way to look at it, but also look at life insurance. I have a life insurance right now that will pay out at the end, whether I die in 20 years or 50 years. It's $250,000.
Yeah,
but
just
what
be
is
given away?
If anyone
wants to kill me, so.
In the grand scheme of things, though, what is $250,000? I mean, that's a good chunk of change. People, if you're smart with it, you're set. But honestly, man, a lot of people would end up just spending all that. So, like, I would worry that one of my kids is going to turn out to be a dumbass because they're my kid.
100%.
So I want to make sure that they got a good little cushion. Like
that is predetermined destiny right there.
I'm just saying one of them might turn out.
We're going to get down the rabbit hole here real quick because I actually have something to say about that. Don't you feel like that's enabling?
What do you mean?
If you're going to keep paying for your kid.
See, but that's actually was something that I was going to say, but I didn't want to get real deep into it. Is if I had a kid that's a dumbass like that, then I pass away and they're getting all this money, I would make sure that I have somebody that's responsible, like a lawyer or somebody that's like making sure they're using the money properly. I was going to get into all that, but then I decided, whatever. But since you brought it up, yeah, that's what I would try to do.
There's so much more things I could say, but I know and we're on time limit.
And also, too, like in future episodes, that's something I do want to touch on, but just different aspects of just the financial world. And, you know, talk about savings, you could talk about investing, you could talk about just day-to-day finances. There's so many avenues you can go around.
No. If you guys want to talk to Kevin about this, find him at Evansville Teachers for Federal Credit Union on the Burkhart branch.
Going back to it.
Did you say Evansville Teachers for Federal Credit Union? Is that what you just said?
Your wife and I work at the same company, and you couldn't get the name.
I can't remember if that's what I said. Sorry.
Hey, guys, listening, run that back because you're going to hear it.
You're definitely going to catch him slipping up. So that, I guess, kind of brings me to my topic to just round it out.
I'm glad you had your own podcast within Nonsenseology Podcast. So
don't get me started on time limits with you, boy. You took up half
30 minutes.
You took up half the podcast. We are all in the same age demographic, and which would be, you know, over our mid-20s, mid to later 20s. I'm curious as your thoughts, and with Brandon here as a guest, I definitely wanted to throw this one in the mix because he brings an interesting perspective to it that we kind of touched on a little bit before. But do you feel now, what are your thoughts on versus your early 20s as far as going out, partying, that type of atmosphere? Do you find it to be more of a chore? Is it something that you still enjoy doing? Is it something that you feel is a good way to spend your time? Is it, you know, there's many facets to that, but I'm just curious to pick your brain as far as, is it something that still piques your interest?
Oh.
I mean, I guess his.
But. Oh, yeah, I mean,
the bar is cool, and I can go there every now and then. I haven't been since Rona, but, man, I just...
Okay, can we ask a question, though? How often were you going...
I've never been a big bar person. Brandon used to have to drag me to the bar whenever we were in college.
I had to offer
free alcohol, all kinds of stuff, and I was still very hesitant.
There was a couple
hesitant.
Times I made sure he drank as much as he wanted in my apartment, and he still tried to back out half the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd offer to buy him drinks, even though he had money, and get him out, and then he'd bitch when we got there. It was a struggle. But
if you got me drunk, and then we went, I was
man, only man. Had your, he only had your best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly best interest.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just
I did hope to see him puke at the end of the night at least every
I
once in a while.
That did happen a few times. I just, man, I...
Yeah, he wanted you...
I partied a lot. I like the house parties.
He wanted...
That stuff was fun.
He
I don't like you. Being around a bunch of strangers, man. It freaks me out.
He wanted you to remember, you know, hovering over the toilet of the night and not just sitting on your couch.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bars, it's fun. It's cool. I personally just don't like being around that many people, especially that many drunk people whenever I'm not one of those drunk people. Because if I'm not drunk and then I show up to the bars, I'm like, dude, this sucks.
So here brings up an interesting question just specifically towards you because you stated that you're more into the house party kind of scene. So what necessarily other than more strangers?
I think he just
used
said,
to be.
Used to be. Okay.
I think he just said, "Leave me alone."
We'll go back into like the used to be. You know, back in the frat house days. We don't have to disclose what frat you were in, but in the frat house days, what would be your preference? Like, why would you prefer house parties versus going out to the bars?
Again, just because I'm around people that I know, it's more so. Like, I feel more comfortable being around people that I know personally. Not that I'm like, oh, someone's going to run up and start a fight or something, but every single time I go out to the bars, somebody, I'll smack somebody. So, you know, if somebody says something stupid, like, it just, I can get heated really easily, and I don't like dealing with that. I don't like, people are always fighting at the bars and stuff like that. I just don't like being around that kind of
atmosphere.
Yeah, like, it's just too tense for me.
So, basically, what I'm getting from this is you're saying you're protecting everyone else by keeping yourself out of the equation.
Well, I don't want to, man, like, I know that I can have, like, especially if I get, and I've calmed down quite a bit, you know, but I know that I can get hot-headed, and I don't want to, I just don't even, I just have no interest in putting myself in that situation.
We'll keep partying on while you sit at home.
And on that note, I'm glad he brought that up. Let's get into you.
Yeah, you don't come out at all. You won't even come over to my house and hang out.
So I'll let you two chime in first because y'all have known him longer than I have, and y'all have known him like college days. So how was Zach back its early days at USI 21, 22?
He was chill. Taylor was always more of the, like, social, like, partier kind of person, I think. So Taylor would drag him out and make him have some fun. Or we'd just make him be our DD.
Because you've always been very measured.
Yeah, very responsible.
You're not somebody that likes to be out of control. You're not, somebody that likes to go too far.
When he does get drunk, it is definitely
I think it's for various reasons that we won't all get into, but it's just not something you ever really enjoy. You do get drunk every now and then, but he's always been kind of chill. Until you get him drunk, and then cackling Zach comes out.
Oh, man. Remember the time at Lake Rudolph? Where you're dancing with the fire pokers.
Is that the time you hit the beers? Is that the same story?
Yeah.
No, so you tried to hide the beers, didn't you? And Brandon found them.
So we went to Lake Rudolph over the weekend, probably 4 years ago?
Oh, it's been longer than that.
Four or five years ago. And Zach brought a 12-pack of Coors Light, which he used to drink like water at that point. It's the only beer he would drink, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That was my beer at the
big time. Brought a 12-pack, got to about beer number 7 after we'd been there maybe four and a half hours, and said something to the effect was he was going to stop drinking. So I popped the 8th beer open and gave it to him.
Yeah, Brandon's an instigator for anybody listening.
I used to be the instigator.
Brandon likes people anymore. Having a good time.
I do.
I was definitely
a big instigator back then. So I popped the 8th beer. He drinks it begrudgingly.
He was controlling my dose.
As he's getting close to the 8th beer, I go and I pop his 9th beer, which he takes with mild annoyance, drinks the 9th beer. Well, then as he's drinking it, he goes into the cabin to hide the beer. And so I sneak around the side of the cabin. I'm plainly looking through the window, watching him hide the beer in a cabinet. And so when he leaves, I go and I open 2 beers back to back. And I come out and I give them to him. And he's like, "Where the hell did you find my beer?" Short story, it ends up with us around the campfire. It's only about 9:30 at night at this point. Zach's pissed drunk.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Zach's drunk.
Super drunk.
Interpretive dancing around the fire with...
The fire pokers?
Yep.
Nice.
I wish I had a video.
I'm surprised.
I really wish I had a video.
There's one out there somewhere.
But it was a good night. So what, there's sober Zach, and then there's drunk Zach. I will say I don't feel like there's a middle ground between the two of you.
Not really.
It's kind of just a tipping point one way or the
Once
other.
Once he opens the door to drunk Zach.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I would like to say, though, I have calmed down.
Oh, yeah.
Not only in being an instigator, but also going out. I still enjoy a good night at the bar. But it's more of like a hanging out. Like, I still enjoy going. Like, so if they did Lamasco's on Thursday, for those of you who don't know, Thursday at Lamasco's is karaoke night. I love to karaoke. I love to go hang out. It's a chill setting most of the time. If they did that on a Friday night, I would be out of the bar a lot more. I think for me, one, yes, it's kind of gotten old. But two, I'm too old to be going out on a Thursday night and being up till 3:30 and then having to get up at 7. Man.
I can't, dude. I don't know how you ever done that.
I'm too old, and I used to never get a hangover. Even when I was
after 25.
I was about to say, up until probably 25, I would never get a hangover. I could mix anything. Mm-hmm. I could drink as much as I wanted. Now, I get, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 drunk, even drinking lots of water, and I'll wake up with a headache the next day. So I still do enjoy it, but a lot less. Probably more than all of you, but a lot less than what I used to do.
Maybe because... I'm just, once in a blue moon, here's drunk Zach. Maybe that's...
Basically, anytime you have a house party.
What? Maybe that's why I still feel like I'm invincible, because I still don't get hangovers.
I don't really get hangovers.
You just sealed your fate.
Yeah.
You just sealed your fate. When's the next house party, Zach?
I've tested it, though, several times to see, like, if he would actually get... And he doesn't. He'll wake up the next morning, just clean the house up, you know, from the night before.
No, it's so really I propose, since you just said that, the next house party I should just plan on staying over, and you and I can just really drink that night. I'll get crazy with you. I haven't gotten real crazy in a while, but then we'll see if you get a hangover the next day. Since you're invincible, you know, there's nothing to worry about, right?
Don't.
There's nothing to worry about. You're invincible.
I'm telling you. I don't know.
No, I didn't. I've tried that.
You just said.
I took that challenge a long time ago. Don't do it.
I would never drove
home.
Challenge.
This is the next day. Throwing up in a freaking donut bank bag all the way home.
This is the instigator.
Over. Don't do it.
Well, okay. I wouldn't have instigated.
He wants to test your theory.
I wouldn't have instigated, since you've already disproven like three of your theories today on your own, I feel like this one's also bullshit.
And I've debunked the next three, but yeah.
So I just want to test it. I also feel like I haven't done it in a while, so I'll instigate. Oh, absolutely, and I'll get there with you.
I just want to see if you can actually get him to where he'll have a hangover.
Oh, I could for sure. First thing I do is bring over a fifth of Rumpelmann's.
Oh no! Good God!
We'll do three shots right off the bat, and then a shot every 45 minutes while we're drinking our beer.
If this ever does happen,
if or when?
It's a win.
If. When?
If.
When?
If it ever does happen, we got a menu. Same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Or else.
I'm not saying you should drink on your own.
Oh, are you saying drink for drink?
Yeah, drink for drink.
Like same
but,
alcohol.
But, I'm gonna throw in a little, little hook in there. I control it, not Brandon.
Like, wait, you control what you're drinking or when?
Like, how much?
No, that's
that doesn't make
no,
sense,
that's
though.
Not how that works. He's got to be the one that's in charge of it.
I already know how that's gonna go.
You said
no,
invincible.
Listen, I don't want to wake up feeling like a bag of dicks either. But I also think that if you actually drank throughout the night and not just socially drank, you would have a hangover. Yeah. There's no way
if
about
he
it.
Really pounded it down.
Oh, well, I thought you were gonna say, well, it's gonna be worth it in the morning whenever I see how much you feel like shit.
Oh, it's gonna be worth it. The best way that I can see the night ending is watching you puke in the trash can.
I can
also be puking because one of my favorite memories and funniest memories was my 23rd birthday when we all went out to the bars. There was like 12 of us and there were four people puking at like 4 a.m. I heard. I think you were one of them. There was one person in one bathroom, one person in the other bathroom, one person in the kitchen in the trash can, and I was in the hallway also puking, and every time I stopped, I'd hear somebody else, and I was hysterically laughing.
That might have been the night that I didn't throw up because you told me I'd throw up before everybody, and I said, no, I want you little, you know, and just kept going and didn't do it.
That would be pretty funny, though. I mean, I didn't enjoy it, but I kind of enjoyed it because, like...
Hold on, I was hungover.
I didn't enjoy it the next day.
But here's the thing. So go back to the challenge, which we're definitely going to make sure happens.
Oh, yeah,
we're definitely going to make sure the night is on our YouTube channel.
I'm down for whatever.
But here's the thing, though, is if you control the drink, Zach, like when you start to like not feel a little bit well, you're going to stop drinking and you're not going to get drunk or you're not going to get plastered. That's where he comes in.
But I don't...
I know he, with drinking, could be wrong, so... You know, let me know if I am, but he...
I think he can out-drink you any day of the week.
He drinks, like a comparison to the hardest worker in the gym. He's like, I'm feeling a little fatigued, but let's get past it. You know what I mean?
That's how you're going to get hung over in the morning.
Well,
that's
I will say you're a little wrong, because Zach's, when's the last time you saw me actually messed up?
Good one. Yeah.
Because I usually get to a point where I know my limit because I know I have to drive at some point or the case may be and I cut myself off. But if we want to have a good old-fashioned competition, test out the invincibility, I'll take that cap off and we can just keep drinking and we can just see what happens.
I'll stay there for that.
We can just see what happens.
I'd stay there all 100%. Night to see what happens.
But I will say if I get to the point where I'm not having a good time, I'll stop drinking. And then you can stop drinking.
We'll keep you guys going. We'll catch you guys. No worries.
Or they could do that, and they could just be really bad for both of us. I'm saying is you can either take back that you're not invincible, or we can actually drink for a night and not just socially drink, and we'll see what happens.
And then we'll see where the invincibility
okay.
comes.
Okay. I'm... And this is on the very bottom of the scale. I am moderately invincible.
Well, then we're definitely... So,
you're not even... By the time this challenge is done, you're never going to say you're invincible again.
No, because I guarantee by hour two, you're going to be pissed drunk.
Yeah. I guarantee you by the end of 30 minutes of this starting, you're going to be pissed drunk.
By the end of the evening, you're going to piss yourself. That's how bad it's going to be.
No, that has never happened. This?
I'm telling you,
I don't even necessarily want to do it because I'm also going to be involved and I know how I'll feel the next
morning. You're also going to feel like crap.
But I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. And I think if we do it, somebody should take like little video snippets throughout 100%. The night.
Oh, I got you.
We could do 100%. A 60-second clip to upload to Nonsenseology.
Because it's going to be hilarious to see you getting debunked with your own invincibility macho man type of theory.
You know,
yeah, then we can trash his house while he's super
drunk.
That'll be so funny.
No,
it'll be so funny.
Having our voices on the internet is one thing, but when you have the full spectrum of Zach on the internet, it gets ugly. I don't want.
But Zach, if you're invincible, hold on. If you're invincible, what do you have to worry about? You're not going to be that drunk. You're going to perform nobly because you're not going to be drunk. Right? That's what you said. You're invincible.
I see what you guys are doing.
He's very good at instigating.
I see what you're doing here. Brandon, listeners out there.
Like riding a bicycle.
Zach Young, not invincible. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yeah.
But we should still do it.
You should still do it, yeah, for sure.
See how quickly,
I feel like he's backing out now.
Yeah, no, he is.
Yeah. I'm getting the feeling that's what you wanted.
I want you to do it.
He recognizes the ramifications.
And he doesn't want to feel like crap, which I do not
blame him. I don't blame you, but...
It's not worth it.
It would still be fun. Even just to do like a hard 2 hours, like a 2 hour stretch.
Start a timer and then...
Like minimum...
Power hour. Minimum, to do a full good power hour.
Minimum 10 shots in 2 hours. And then you can coast for the rest of the night and see how you feel the next morning.
But you have to still socially drink.
Well, yeah. Like start at 8 o'clock, end at 10, party ends at 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock, see how you feel the next morning. But you have to keep drinking. You don't have to keep pounding shots, but you have to keep socially drinking.
I do enjoy a social drink at the age of 26, about to be 27. Now, do I enjoy frat drinks where you're just pounding and pounding and pounding?
Shotgun and beers, the beer funnel, etc.
I think those days didn't last
very long. Good old days.
Corona was actually started by funneling beers in college.
Oh, yeah.
By 100%. Funneling them into your butt.
Yeah.
Because people do that.
Hold on. What parties are you going to?
What happened at your friend's house?
Whoa, hang on. Not at my friend's house.
Is that why they lost the house?
Just at my house. I mean, hold on. Hang on. I'm getting mixed up. Yes, people butt bong beers, if that's what you're asking. Apparently that is a thing.
Don't say apparently. You said it with such command. You've seen it. I know you've seen it.
If I've seen it,
maybe you're part of it.
I wish. I've never seen someone butt bong a beer, but apparently that was a thing and it was like killing people because your intestines absorb alcohol at a faster rate. So, but it was a freaking joke. God,
all right,
I think you gotta take that serious.
Since we're done pointing the
proverbial finger at you.
Yeah, at me, Kevin, Grandpa. What about you? You know, have you always been a slow drinker?
No, but I will say after many, many times of waking up feeling like hot garbage, especially in the last 3 years after I've turned 25, every time I'm like, I gotta slow it down. And I've actually gotten better because I used to in my early 20s, especially. Would, you know, like back when I didn't have as many responsibilities and didn't really care about as much if I there were many times in previous employments that I may or may not have went to work still hungover from the night before and worked an 8 or a 12 hour shift.
I've never worked hungover. Never.
It's
not
the worst
one time. Not one time. Never.
It's the worst.
Was never willing to make that.
Why? Even I have.
Oh, it's, no, dude. I'm just never willing to do that. No party's worth that crap. Not doing it.
Now, you know, granted, depending on the... Now I'm more of a... It depends on the atmosphere. Like, you know, our trips down to Kentucky Lake this summer, I'll pound down beers. Like, I'm all about it. I love being on the water. That's the perfect atmosphere for me. But...
Oh, we know, yeah. behind your steering wheel.
Absolutely. But
the pontoon that goes 14 miles an hour.
But hey, that's all the speed I need, man. You put that thing to full throttle and just coast down the lane. That's all I need. But at the same time, like, in house parties or, like, going out to the bars and stuff, like, I don't mind going out to the bars, you know, here in Evansville every once in a blue moon just to go out, just something a little bit different. But at the same time, it's not something that I enjoy doing as much as I did, like, maybe 5 years ago when I was 23, 24. You know, there were many times, you know, in that early 20 age, I'd go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, especially in the summers. I'd go Thursday at Lamasco's, Friday at Franklin Street, and Saturday at Marina Point, and that was an every weekend thing for me.
It's the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity in Evansville, especially during the summer. I lived at Marina Point. But now, I mean, it's just not something I'm really, it doesn't really pique my interest because, one, I spend way too much on alcohol every time. Alcohol uncovers. Two, I feel like crap the next day. And three, it's
just not worth the time. And
it's different because there were so many of us that would go at the time and it'd be like, we'd all meet up. I mean, there'd be a group of us. Yeah, you'd always run into people. Group,
absolutely.
And that was nice. But now, not as many people. And that's okay. Like, it's not the end all be all. But at the same time, it changes kind of the
people are getting married, yeah, having kids, et cetera, et cetera.
Just if we got like a big group together, I'd go down to Tiki with all of us. But
I will, to piggyback off that, I don't ever think, there was a time when it was the bar that I really enjoyed, but it's always the driving factor has been
the people.
Like I talked about the first episode I was on here, I'm all about experiences with friends and family. So the bar was a great place to go.
Get and you meet 10, new people 12, too.
16 people together, have a crazy night, have some fun. So that's why I liked it.
Yeah, I mean that's how I believe you and I met. Was either it was at one of his parties or it was at the bar. I may have seen you at one of his parties one time and then met you at like on Franklin or something. And that's how you and I like became friends. So I mean, like, it's good to meet new people too, but at the same time, you get to that point where you got to justify the answer.
There was a time whenever I went out to the bars fairly often with everybody.
2017.
For a little while, yeah. I don't remember, I mean, whatever, but yeah, for a little bit. Good times.
At least you remembered you went, I suppose.
How old are we?
Oh, getting there.
You're over
how
30,
old
right?
am I or how old do I feel? Yeah, right. It's two different things. So with that being said, I believe that concludes another excellent episode of Nonsenseology. First YouTube episode as well. We want to thank our boy Brandon once again for being back on Nonsenseology. He's been our most popular guest so far, so definitely not going to be the last time that you're seeing him here around the table.
I don't know about most popular, but I'll always come and spew some nonsense. I'm pretty good at it.
That's what we're here for. You boys got anything before we call it quits for the evening?
No, sir. Go ahead and plug our socials there, Kevin.
Just be sure to follow us on Instagram at Nonsenseology Podcast and our Facebook at Nonsenseology. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. New episodes dropping every Monday. It's the best way to start your Monday morning. And definitely a great way to end your weekend as well if you're more into listening to us throughout the weekend to make that weekend even better.
Yeah, if you guys made it through Kevin's TED Talk and you're very interested on,
then definitely hit me up on Instagram.
Making more money, again, Evansville's teachers, federal union.
Your wife is going to listen to this, I'm telling you right now.
Located in Evansville, Indiana, Burkhardt Street.
Burkhardt Street. Zach, you're from Evansville, dude.
Can I just walk out now? No,
we should just walk out.
I'm done.
On that note.
All right, well, this is Zach signing off on Nonsenseology. Catch you later. How about that?
No.